His weeping went unmarked by all the others. Only Alcinous, sitting close beside him, noticed his guest's tears, heard the groan in the man's laboured breathing, and said at once to the master mariners around him, "Hear me, my lords and captains of Phaeacia. By now we've had our fill of food well shared, and the lyre too, our loyal friend at banquets. Now out we go again and test ourselves in contests, games of every kind, so our guest can tell his friends when he reaches home how far we excel the world at boxing, wrestling, jumping, speed of foot." He forged ahead, and the rest fell in behind. The herald hung the ringing lyre back on its peg, and taking Demodocus by the hand, led him from the palace, guiding him down the same path the island lords had just pursued, keen to watch the contests. They reached the meeting grounds, with throngs of people streaming in their trail, as a press of young champions rose for competition. Topsail and Riptide rose, the helmsman Rohard too, and seaman and sternman, surf at the beach and stroke oar, breaker and bowsprit, racing the wind and swing aboard, and Seagirt the son of Greatfleet, Shipwrightson and the son of Launcher, Broadsea, rose up too, a match for murderous Ares, death to man, in looks and build the best of all Phaeacians, after gallant Laodamas, the captain of the people. Laodamas rose with two more sons of great Alcinous, Helios, bred to the sea, and Clytoneus, famed for ships. And now the games began, the first event a foot race. They towed the line and broke flat out from the start, with a fast pack flying down the field in a world of dust, and Clytoneus the prince outstripped them all by far, flashing ahead the length two mules will plough a furrow before he turned for home, leaving the pack behind, and raced to reach the crowds. Next the wrestling, grueling sport. They grappled, locked, and Broadsea, pinning the strongest champions, won the bout. Next, in the jumping, Seagirt leapt and beat the field. In the discus, Rohard up and out-hurled them all by far, and the king's good son Laodamas boxed them to their knees. When all had enjoyed the games to their heart's content, Alcinous's son Laodamas spurred them. "Come, my friends, let's ask our guest if he knows the ropes of any sport. He's no mean man, not with a build like that. Look at his thighs, his legs, and what a pair of arms! His massive neck, his big rippling strength. Nor is he past his prime, just beaten down by one too many blows. Nothing worse than the sea, I always say, to crush a man, the strongest man alive." And Broadsea put in quickly, "Well said, Laodamas, right to the point. Go up to the fellow, challenge him yourself." On that cue the noble prince strode up before Odysseus, front and centre, asking, "Come, stranger, sir, won't you try your hand at our contest now? If you have skill in any, it's fit and proper for you to know your sports. What greater glory attends a man while he's alive than what he wins with his racing feet and striving hands? Come and compete, then. Throw your cares to the wind. It won't be long. Your journey's not far off. Your ship's already hauled down to the sea. Your crew is set to sail." "Laodamas," quick to the mark, Odysseus countered sharply, "why do you taunt me so, with such a challenge? Pains weigh on my spirit now, not your sports. I've suffered much already, struggled hard. But here I sit amid your assembly still, starved for passage home, begging your king, begging all your people." "Oh, I knew it," Broadsea broke in, mocking him to his face. "I never took you for some unskilled in games, the kind that real men play throughout the world. Not a chance. You're some skipper of profiteers, roving the high seas in his scudding craft, reckoning up his freight with a keen eye out for home cargo, grabbing the gold he can. You're no athlete, I see that." With a dark glance, wily Odysseus shot back, "Indecent talk, my friend. You're a reckless fool, I see that. So, the gods don't hand out all their gifts at once, not build and brains and flowing speech to all. One man may fail to impress us with his looks, but a god can crown his words with beauty, charm, and men look on with delight when he speaks out. Never faltering, filled with winning self-control, he shines forth at assembly grounds, and people gaze at him like a god when he walks through the streets. Another man may look like a deathless one on high, but there's not a bit of grace to crown his words, just like you, my fine, handsome friend. Not even a god could improve those lovely looks of yours, but